But in my head, I imagine this old lady telling another young man who's very busy building a business, building a whatever, a ministry, and she says, you know, you're trading diamonds for stones. You know, you're trading your children, your family, to something that has innumerable value for something that doesn't even matter. And that's the truth. And that's what I want to not only tell the other dads, I want to remind that. I want to remind me of that.
Welcome back to the Be Unbound podcast. I'm your co-host, Jonathan Brush.
And I'm your co-host, David Rathemeyer.
And today we get a really cool chance to talk to, I think, a special guest. Todd Wilson has been a speaker, an author, an encourager for a long time. In fact, we talk about exactly how long on the podcast. He is famous for lots of things. In my mind, he's famous for his association with Walmarts, and we talk about that in the interview as well. But he's most notably famous, and when I say famous, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, he's most famously known for what you're about to experience in this conversation, which is that Todd has a perspective and an ability to courage that is really a gift from God. And he's used that gift faithfully for many years. And in this conversation, he uses it in a way that I hope encourages you, because it certainly encouraged me. Well, there are few people who have as many reps speaking, being in front of audiences, and teaching on some important subjects as Todd Wilson. And so, Todd, it is just a delight to have you with us. I'm looking forward to asking you a bunch of questions about all those reps. And so, welcome to the Be Unbound podcast.
Oh, super excited. A great privilege. I love doing this.
Well, Todd, you and I have crossed paths a couple of times on various circuits and spoken different places. But right before we started recording, I said, I know you've been doing this at least 16 years. And when I say this, I mean speaking on parenting, on homeschooling, on marriage and those kinds of things. But you said a little bit more years than that. So how long have you actually been doing this?
I feel like I feel still kind of new at it, but we've been doing this. This is our 24th year. We started, you know, way back, 2002, 2003, and we had a bunch of kids, and we hit the road, and now my kids are grown, and it's and I'm like one of the old guys. They're like, oh, Mr. Wilson, my parents loved you. You know, I can remember hearing you as a kid.
I cannot picture you as an old guy, Todd. Like, so that's just not going to work for me. I don't care what kind of data and statistics you throw at me. It's not going to work. Well, but I do have what might be a somewhat hilarious sort of association with you. I came to one of your sessions very early when you were traveling in an RV with a bunch of children. And you talked about one of your, you know, tongue-in-cheek goals in life was to sleep in every Walmart parking lot. And so when I pull into a Walmart in various states, inevitably, if it's a new one, I pull in and I think, I wonder if Todd Wilson has spent the night here.
That's a great question. And really, when I'm talking to people, they'll say, oh, I live in so-and-so place. And I'm like, oh, I've stayed in your Walmart. So unique Walmart stays, like never duplicated. Some, because, you know, we have stayed in a lot of duplicate. I've stayed in some up to, like 2 weeks, not all together, but over the years. We've done 296 unique Walmart stays, which Wow. There are about, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 of them. So we didn't get close, but it's really the only hobby I have in my life is keeping track of those things. So it's kind of
I love
weird.
That. Well, I feel like we should have like a sticker that we can put on a lamp post or something like that. You know, Todd Wilson was here and I can just check in.
That's a great idea.
Or at least maybe a public map. You know, you could like flag it and do that.
In fact, I had one. I had one going, but it just got kind of too hard to manage, and my wife was kind of nervous that people would just show up, because sometimes they did. If I said, hey, I'm gonna be in so-and-so, I'd have some guy driving around Walmart parking lots going, I hoped I'd find you here.
To encouraging people to strangers to meet you in a Walmart parking lot doesn't necessarily seem like the best idea.
Yeah. Not unless you're getting a Facebook Marketplace deal out of it. I mean, that would be my take on it. So Well, hey, before we jump into all this, Todd, I think that, you know, you're more famous than David and I put together for sure. And so lots of our audience will know you. But just in case they don't, tell us a little bit about why you've been in 296 unique Walmarts and tell us a little bit about your ministry and your organization and the things that you've done. I'd like people to know about you and what you do.
Well, you know, we started out as just a homeschooling family. And I thought I'd be a writer at one time. And someone said, oh, you gotta, you know, You're already homeschooling. Why don't you see if you could be a speaker in that? And I'm like, maybe. And we started this thing that we called the Family Man Ministries, and just to encourage dads of what's most important. And we had some success. I mean, as success means we made more than picking up cans by the side of the road. And so we took it as success. I had been a pastor for 10 years. We had 5 or 6 kids at the time, and we stopped. We just quit cold turkey, felt God was moving us in this direction. We stepped out in faith. God took care of us every single moment, which he continues to do. And someone said, get an old RV. So we got an old RV. We started driving around the country, going to homeschool conventions and speaking at churches and camps. And but really, our ministry kind of stayed the same, even though about 6 or 7 years ago, we saw, hey, you know, we're encouraging these dads. You know, we're surrounded by all these moms who are doing the same thing. They homeschool their kids, and they're missing out on what matters most, too. And so we started the Smiling Homeschooler, and we've been encouraging moms ever since then and even before. But it's been a great thing. So we've written a lot of books, offered a lot of products just to encourage moms and dads in this family thing, because you get discouraged. And for dads, you know, sometimes you think that what matters is the thing I do, you know, running a ministry. And really, that's not what matters. I don't care if anybody remembers Todd Wilson at all, but I have 8 children, and now we're expecting our 11th grandchild, and that's what matters, you know, to have my wife like me. I mean, that's a good thing. And if you blow it in the business part and you get it right in the family part, you'll live happily ever after, and you will have spent your life well. So that's what we do. We just we point dads and moms in the direction they already want to go. Because I haven't met a dad who doesn't want to be a good dad. Sometimes we lose our way. I lose my way. And it's nice to someone go, hey, it's over that direction. You're going, go that direction. And so that's kind of what we do.
Well, I know I've been encouraged by you. I've read several of your books. I've heard you speak at various conventions and conferences. I've, you know, it's fun for years. I could tell you were there because people walk through with the stickers, you know,
they still do.
The t-shirts and stuff like that. It was pretty fun. And so, you know, that's a unique ministry. It's such an important one. I think discouragement is one of the, you know, biggest challenges and maybe one of the strongest tools of an enemy who wants to destroy us is to kind of, you know, distract you and discourage you and do all those things. And I'm not immune to that. I've spent seasons of discouragement and times and days and things of that nature. But I was, as we were preparing for this interview, I was thinking about, you know, first of all, it's a unique ministry. It's an important one. But I was thinking, wow, you've probably got a really unique perspective. I mean, you're talking about millennial, Gen Z, Gen Alpha. You know, you've got kind of a pretty interesting spectrum of that development. And so one of the questions that's most interesting to me is, Todd, you know, starting out and then 20 plus years later, what are some of the things that you've seen change over time as you've delivered a pretty consistent message? It's grounded mm-hmm. in something that's true no matter what. What have you seen in terms of the changes of how people respond to that or what people are looking for? I'm really curious your perspective on that.
You know, as far as homeschooling goes, you know, the change, there's a lot that has remained the same. You know, we still have pressures, but the pressures seem to are coming from different places. Back in the old days, the pressure came from the world. You know, the world was looking at us, you know, kind of with their head cocked and one eye squinted and like, what is going on over there? And, you know, they were skeptical of us, like, there's no way you can educate your children. Over time, they've kind of thrown in the towel and said, okay, you can do this. In fact, you do it better than us. We're going to try to copy you. And so they still may yell, but, and they've gotten louder sometimes, but they don't have any argument. You know, there's nothing to say. They can't say, hey, look at us, we're doing it so well, because they're not, you know. And so those pressures have kind of dwindled. You know, we used to be, I can remember when we first started homeschooling, you know, if we would go to McDonald's on a Thursday, we were a little fearful. Not like, we didn't think we'd be turned in, but we felt like we might have to account for why we were there. You know, I need to hear those people, isn't there any school today? You know, now nobody cares. You know, you go to McDonald's on a Wednesday, it's filled with kids. They could be going to school. I don't even know where they're from, but they're nobody goes to class anymore. And so it's no big deal. There are a lot of homeschoolers. But I sometimes think the pressures have maybe increased, not from the world, but from ourselves, from other homeschoolers, from other homeschool organizations. Because it used to be, you know, it seemed like a pretty simple thing when I started. It was just a bunch of parents trying to educate their kids, you know. And really, it was kind of like the way we best saw fit. You know, we knew our kids needed to read, so we taught them to read. We knew they needed to know how to add and subtract, to multiply and divide, so we taught them those things. We taught them history because we thought that was a good thing. We taught them about the Bible because we knew that was the most important thing. And then we lived life together. You know, now there's just so much pressure to make sure you cover this. And are you doing your Latin derivatives? And what about logic and all these other things? And really, it's overwhelming to moms. And I'm seeing moms who felt convinced in their heart that they needed to homeschool their kids, but they come to this conclusion, like, I just can't do it. I can't do what everybody's asking me to do. You know, I don't like the school part, you know? And so they quit. And that is so sad to me, because I think the desire almost of every mom is to have their children home. And, you know, I just want to, I'd like my legacy in this to be to just tell moms they are doing a good job, because I haven't met a mom who's not trying her hardest, really, or a dad, you know. And so I think that has changed. You know, we've got lots of how-tos now. We have conventions and online resources and just lots of stuff. But I'm afraid sometimes we've forgotten the why-tos, because it used to be very clear back in the day. Everybody knew why they homeschool. Now I'm not sure we know as well. I mean, some of us started for different – we all started for different reasons, some because we didn't like the way the system was. We wanted to teach our kids, you know, God's word. Others, you know, we wanted to emphasize some area, you know. But now I feel like the options are more like, oh yeah, it seemed like a good thing to do. We're trying it, you know, and it doesn't carry you very far. Now that changes sometimes when you're in the midst of it. I met a lot of COVID homeschoolers who were like, yeah, we didn't want to do it, but man, we love doing it. We would never go back. And so, but again, some things have remained the same. You know, there's still not a mom out there who thinks she's doing a good job. They all feel like they're failing, which is not true, but it's always been that same way. I talked to young and old, new and seasoned moms, and they all feel the same way.
Characteristic of motherhood, I think.
It is. It's not dads. Dads all think they're doing better than they really are. you know, dads are like, I've seen worse, you know. But for moms, and the stakes are still the same. Family still pays off. So, you know, I guess that's kind of my perspective.
We know it's tough to find the right resources for your high schooler. That's where Equip by Unbound comes in. This program for 9th through 11th graders combines Christian worldview training, coaching, and hands-on projects that help students apply what they're learning in real life. By year's end, they'll have stronger skills, clearer direction, and more confidence for what's ahead. Prices are going up soon, so now's the time. Learn more at beunbound.us/equip.
So I think that I think there's that universal kind of motherhood failing. It's interesting to, you know, I've watched the homeschool movement, and if, you know, I was a homeschool graduate and then had the same experience. You know, we homeschooled our first kids. It was, you know, we would get stopped in school and so in Walmart, and sometimes they would say, you know, are you homeschooling, or do you homeschool or something? And now I don't remember the last time anybody got stopped
nobody
anywhere.
Cares what nobody you do with
nobody
your
cares,
kid.
But and so that's kind of a real difference. And yes, there was significant outside pressure early on, especially in the legal departments and things like that, and legal arena. And now I think it's kind of changed that, yeah, there's both internal stuff and, like most movements, you know, some of the internal problems become more serious. On that same vein, I think I knew you first, Todd, as somebody who encouraged dads. And, you know, when you started, if I'm doing the math right, you know, we're coming out of kind of the materialistic 90s, really career focused, those kinds of things. And I remember hearing your message and being a young dad myself and thinking that it was unique in the sense that there was not, you know, parenting was still to some extent, and homeschooling was still to some extent, a mother's thing. And it wasn't that kind of engagement. And I remember you as sort of a pioneer of really cheerleading and encouraging dads to be involved in that. I'm curious the changes you've seen in that arena, in terms of dads' involvement over the years.
That's really interesting, because, you know, and I would think that most people would probably echo this, you know, that has changed a lot. You know, I know that, like, when my sons, who are dads, they are very much encouraged, even by their other friends. Like, they're more hands-on, you know, like, when they come home from work, it's kind of like they've clocked in, and now it's their job to take over. And so that has changed. I think there is a lot of emphasis and... maybe it's a little bit cooler to be the dad than it used to be. But I know that my sons, at the same time, they struggle with the same things I do. You know, they face those same things because they want to get stuff done, like I want to get stuff done. And so you're constantly battling this, you know, what's most important thing. So I think the message maybe is louder, but I don't think... again, internally, or maybe even the end result hasn't changed much. Dads still need to be more engaged. I used to think, you know, when Promise Keepers came around, you know, they would fill stadiums with all these men. And it's like, we kind of like talking about being good dads. We like talking about being good parents. But when it comes right down to it, it's a lot more than talk. Because, you know, I used to think, well, why aren't all these guys who have been challenged quitting their jobs? You know, why isn't there a mass migration of men leaving their homes, leaving their jobs and going back home? And that's because I think, you know, we have those mountaintop experiences, high experiences, and we want to do, but our flesh is strong and our spirit is weak, and we get pulled back into it. So I think, again, a lot has changed, but not much has changed. And that's kind of comforting to me, I guess, even to think, you know, a couple thousand years ago, the dads were still feeling like I feel now. They were still blowing it. They were still missing those teachable moments. And then they seemed to have all the time in the world at the time, you know. And maybe that'll be the way it goes all the way to the very end. And so they need the family man, you know, to remind them of what's most important. I need the family man. I need someone to remind me. I spend every day thinking about this stuff, and I still get so sidetracked so quickly, so easily. And I need someone to go, hey, you big goof, you know, get back in there. I'm like, oh, you're right. You're right.
Well, I think that's the other part that you have that is the perspective. Did you say 11 grandchildren?
Yes, we're expecting our 11th.
11th, uh-huh. 11th grandchild. So, you know, as a dad, right, I'm sitting here in this office recording this podcast, and I won't do this, but if you were to pan the camera around, you know, on the other side of the camera is the trim that has never been put down the floor, even though the office is now 2 or 3 years old. You know, if you pan that way, there's a bunch of boxes that I swore would not last more than a week. And now I don't know, it's measured in months. It's probably measured in years. There is a wood miser sawmill that hasn't been started in 3 years with a bunch of logs.
My son wants it. He wants it.
Tell him he should come and we should use it, because And there's a bunch of logs that haven't been sawn because I was like, I had this great idea. I was going to build the bookshelves for the bottom of the office. And, you know, that hasn't happened. In other words, I feel like I get up every day and I'm constantly surrounded by an overwhelming set of evidence of failures, of projects that aren't getting done, things that aren't being finished. And at the same time, I'm trying hard to make the decisions that prioritize relationships, prioritize those kinds of things. And then, you know, you have days where you think, I'm pretty sure I'm not doing well at either of those. I've not prioritized the relationships, but I didn't get all the projects finished. I didn't get all the projects finished, but I also didn't have time for relationships. I don't think that's unique. I think that's universal. And I don't know that there's like some, maybe there is, and I'm just too dumb, but I don't think there's a golden bullet that just, you know, silver bullet that just allows you to fix that. I suspect, having read some of your books, you have gone through a similar season, and yet you're on the other side of that in some ways, in a way that I'm not. What does that look like looking back?
I don't know about that other side of the season, you know, other side of it, because I feel the same thing. But I do think I think that struggle is super real. I think everybody, you know, guys feel it. And I think, you know, I was talking to a guy recently and he said, you know, I'm still in my starter home. The home that I said, this was going to be our starter home. And yeah. We raised our four kids and, you know, I'm having my first grandchild and, you know, and you could sense that he felt like he had missed something, you know.
I understand that. There's parts of my house that I think that, yeah, I was going to fix that when I moved in. And now it is a stupid long time since we moved in and it's still there. Yeah. So.
I think, and my wife and I, we talk about this because my wife, you know, I thought, you know, when I had grandchildren, oh, it'd get so much easier, you know. But all my kids live real close. I have probably five grandchildren in my house right now that just walked over. You know, I mean, I heard them. I haven't even hardly seen them, but I can hear them upstairs, you know. And we had a birthday party and everybody was over and it was super loud and super chaotic. And we were watching kids every day. And my wife has said, Todd, we did our time. And I'm like, honey, it's a life sentence, you know. This is not our time. Time is until they cart out our bodies in wooden boxes. But I think, you know, Jonathan, what you're talking about is something that I think we have to come to as dads and as moms. And I think that's a place of surrender where we just say, okay, I'm okay with this. You know, I know now if your wife is nagging you to get the trim on, then you need to get the trim on, you know, but if it's just something you want to do and wish you could do, maybe it's okay to just say, hey, I'm not going to get it done, or I'm not going to get it done anytime soon, and be okay in it, because I'd like to, my basement is a pit, my garage is a pit, everything is a pit right now. And my wife is like, why is everything out of control? And I'm like, because we're spending it somewhere else because we don't have enough time for everything. And I think if we could kind of come to that place where we just say, okay, I'm okay with the unfinished trim with the boxes sitting there. I'll get to them when I can. And if I can't, that's okay too. But I agree with you. I think sometimes we do feel like a failure in that. I mean, I was having lunch with a dad and he's a good dad. And we were just talking. He looks at me and he goes, I'm a terrible dad. And I'm like, no, you're not. He goes, yes, I am. And he was just, you know, lamenting all the things that he said and did. And there are times I feel like that, and times that all the dads feel like that. I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten about 3 days after Christmas that they'll say, Todd, I ruined Christmas at my house, you know. Why would I choose to make my kids cry on Christmas Eve? And I get such pleasure from those emails, actually, because I've done the same thing. I've had videos where dads have sent me where they're all planning this big event. You know, they're singing happy birthday too. And then one of the kids flips a balloon and hits the dad right in the eye. And it's like all over, you know. And I'm like, that's the beauty of family. That's the beauty of doing something good. It is hard. But as I've come to believe that hard things are good. And good things are hard. And it'd be easy to say, well, you know, if I just work a little bit harder, you know, if you just organize your time, Jonathan, you wouldn't you'd get take care of these things. Have you thought about making a checklist, you know? And, you know, those things don't, maybe they work for a little while.
I can do one better. I have a checklist and a perennial thing that shows up in my checklist is schedule reset. And I copied it down today, and I have a stack of these little pads that I use as my like daily task trackers, uh-huh. You know, and I just had this demoralizing thought this morning, and I thought, how many years of notebooks do I have that say schedule reset? because I know it's years. I know it's years that I've been like, if I could just, you know, rearrange a little bit, if I could just change, if I get a little bit more discipline in there. And so I think that I really resonate with what you said about surrender, but I'm going to poke one more thing to get your perspective on. And I'm going to say, and I know what this looks like. Kind of, I mean, I don't know what your life looks like, but from the outside, somebody say, "Oh, look at Todd." You know, I mean, man's been at 300 and some Walmart parking lots. You know, almost 300 and some Walmart parking lots. He's built a great big business and ministry. He's got some level of fame. He's got these books published, and I know that there's another side of that, and yet. To cut through that, Todd, that is a significant accomplishment. You've done real work that's meaningful, that's helped a lot of people. And so you can, and I'm sure your first reaction is like, yes, but let me tell you, okay, sure. But you have surrendered. You had that point where you walked away from full-time ministry. You stepped into something new. And then many years later, you're still successfully doing it. And you made more money than picking up cans alongside the road.
Barely. Right.
Well, when you said that, I thought that was said with a almost like sort of. like an almost right. Over top of that.
It depends on how many cans you pick up.
So the question is, how have you managed some of that balance, right? That between that surrender, it's not going to get done, and the we're going to have to schedule a couple more conventions if we're going to pay the mortgage. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's that tension that I think is universal, and I don't expect you to have a magic answer, but I'm curious about your experience with it.
Well, here's what I've done, you know, and I mean, you painted a really glorious picture. It's not anything like that, you know.
I know from being on the inside of something else.
Right? Of that. But that's what everybody thinks. Yeah. Everybody looks on, and not just me. They look at everybody. I mean, they think they, and even if you lived in a pigsty, you know, you look at somebody else and you go, but I bet you he has the relationships right. You know, I bet you he, you know, so that
at least
really
he didn't have to worry about cleaning his garage.
Exactly. But there have been times, I still do it all the time. I'm like, God, if you want this done, you've called me to do this. If you want it done, you're going to have to take care of it. Cause you know, I'm going to do this other thing that I think is more important, you know, about scheduling, you know, or bringing in income. Cause it's a scary thing to live where I live because I don't have anybody who's like, gives me a paycheck. You know, I don't know if these people are going to get tired of hearing me speak because I get tired of hearing me speak, you know. But I feel like God has brought us to this point. He's taken care of us for 24 years. Why would he stop now? And there, I just will say to him, God, if you want my family to be this way, then you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do it because I can't do it all. You know, I mean, you're going to have to get this done. You're going to have to make this car last longer. You're going to have to bring something else in because I just can't do it. And maybe that is part of that surrender. And I do think, you know, as you were just describing me, sometimes I am poisoned when I look at others. You know, if I look at somebody else's, you know, website, I'm like, wow, look at their schedule. Look how many places there. And I feel pretty good. I like my RV, which I just sold last year, man, it was 34 years old. It was an amazing RV. But when I started looking at, when I'd be around somebody with a new RV, mine looked like a donkey cart. You know, and I'm like, this is junk. Why are we, you know, and I feel that way sometimes. I feel pretty good about life when I just do our life. But when I start looking around and I think, I mean, I came to business with God even in this ministry, you know, because people would come to me and say, oh, Todd, you're doing a great job. I could show you how to do it bigger. You know, wouldn't you like to reach more? And now when people say that, I'm like, I'm good. You know, I don't need to reach anymore. This is good. Yeah, but wonder if it dwindles. I'm good with that too, you know, because I'm just going to be me. And I think it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 where it says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. and really to work with your own hands, mind your own business. Sometimes that is the exact in-your-face opposite of what everyone else says. To lead a quiet life, you know, I mean, and really, Jonathan, your life right now and your clutter and your undone trim with your, how many children do you have? Six children?
Eight, yeah.
Eight children. I think your website says six. Does it say?
It probably does.
With eight children. Man, you are living the life. You have it all. You know, my fear is for dads that will trade that for stuff that doesn't matter. I read this book. Or actually, I took this quote. I included it in my own book. I've never been able to attribute to any other book. I can't find the quote anywhere. I've looked. I've reread the book that I thought it was from over and over and over again. I cannot find the quote. So maybe I
might be yours. It might be yours. Yeah.
But in my head, I imagine this old lady telling another young man who's very busy building a business, building a whatever, a ministry, and she says, "You know, you're trading diamonds for stones. You know, you're trading your children, your family, the something that has innumerable value." For something that doesn't even matter. And that's the truth. And that's what I want to not only tell the other dads, I want to remind that. I want to remind me of that as well. Because, you know, like I said, I sometimes feel old. And I feel, I don't see the end of the tunnel, but I can see the light now. I can see that it does not stretch on forever. And I'm like, I tell my wife, I said, man, you know, How many more years do we have as just being the actor? I said, let's do it now. You know, yes, we have eternity and I want to do that. But, you know, if I'm saving these dollars for something that I think might can't come at the end, I don't want to do that. You know, let's just spend it and do it because we're not going to have this opportunity again. And so, you know, if you're thinking about taking that vacation, thinking about doing something with your family, thinking about building this thing for your family, I'd do it, you know, because, and then let it fall apart in it right before your eyes because it won't get all the way done. And, but it's hard. I think it's universal. I think most dads feel it. If you're an engaged dad, you're feeling it. If you're getting everything done you need to get done, you're not, you may not be feeling it, but you should be.
Oh, I think, Todd, this has been really encouraging, I hope, for especially like the dads and moms who have been listening to this. I am also just curious, as we're wrapping up here, what your perspective would be for younger people who aren't parents yet, because we do have an interesting mix in our audience of parents and of young people who maybe are married or want to get married and are thinking about and know that having kids is a blessing, but also are a little bit intimidated and a little bit terrified by that, and already, even before they have the kids, are afraid of what if I mess it up, or already feel like I'm going to be a terrible parent if I do have kids, and just struggle with that inadequacy.
Well, join the club. I will just tell you right off the bat, you are going to be a terrible parent. You are going to be a terrible husband. You're a terrible wife at times. That's what everybody is. I mean, I tell other people, it's my job to give my kids baggage to work through later. You know, God knows that. I mean, that's the beauty of family. I mean, it is a great thing. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be real. You know, I was talking to my mom the other day, and I'm like, I don't get it why some people don't like to let their kids see them argue and fight. I'm like, I think we owe it to our kids to fight, you know, and then show them how it's resolved. Because wouldn't it be a tragedy if you got to the end of your life and your kids thought, well, mom and dad never had these problems, because that's just not true. And so, you know, to anybody who doesn't have kids, you know, I wouldn't sweat it, because, you know, God's going to get you right where he wants you to be. I know that sometimes my children, you know, I have a 25-year-old, a 20-year-old, and an 18-year-old who are not married, sons. And I think sometimes they see the value of family. They want a family. And I know my daughter, you know, when she was 18, she was just convinced she was going to be a spinstress. And she's like, I haven't met anybody, Dad. I'm not, you know. And I'm like, and as a dad, I would remind her that God's got a plan. God's got it all worked out. I would not worry at all about what the future holds. I would just be faithful in what you're doing right now, you know, because God's preparing you for whatever he has for you. And if it's to be a dad of 10 children, hey, you're going to be just perfect for it. If it's a mom of having to be, you know, just a couple kids, or maybe you're going to be single. You don't have to worry about that. God's got a plan for you. And that takes a lot of pressure off, you know, because it's not all about you. And I'm kind of okay with that. You know, and even I'll tell you as a dad again, I used to think it was my job to get my kids perfect. So when they left my house, they would have it all down. They wouldn't have to make the same mistakes I did. That was a wrong way of thinking, because God has hard lessons for everybody. You know, sometimes you have to get fired from a job to learn exactly what God would have you learn. You have to, you know, get all your paperwork in, and it's all, you know, illegible, like a third grader wrote it, and for them to turn it down to realize that maybe you have to be a little neater the next time. Those are the lessons that really matter. And I think God has those lessons for all of us, for me, for my kids. And that's not a bad place to be. Even when I see my sons, you know, struggle in being dads right now, or when I know their wife is mad at them, I get great joy out of it, actually. And it makes me feel happy, because I know they're going to be okay, because they're going to figure it out, because their mom and dad figured it out, and they watched the whole thing, and God's working in them and through them, and he's going to finish what he started. And I'll tell you, that just takes all the pressure off. You know, we all feel so much pressure that we think, man, if it's all, you know, we started by talking about homeschooling. We think if I make a mistake, they're going to pay the price. You're going to make lots of mistakes, and some of the price they're going to have to pay, but that's okay. And dads are the same way. So there's my concluding wisdom.
Well, I'd hate to build on any concluding wisdom if we're gonna stop there. But I will say, Todd, I appreciate you alluded to this. But I appreciate your sharing. I appreciate the knowledge you brought and the perspective you brought. I appreciate the sacrifice and the hard work you put into bringing that message out. That is a response to a faithfulness, to a call. And I think I have some awareness of what that might be in terms of
obviously standing for the
insecurity.
Walmarts.
Yeah. in terms of the insecurity and in terms of how that kind of plays out. But I was going to conclude that if there's one thing you should take away from here, it's that the next time you are at a Walmart, you should look at the lamppost and see if you see that sticker, because that might be a legacy.
I might steal that idea, actually.
You don't have to steal it. We will give it to you. There would make me nothing more excited if I pulled into a Walmart and been like, look at that sticker.
Todd was here.
So, Todd was here. So.
Okay. I like it.
Well, no sticker for the podcast yet, at least. But Todd, thank you for being here. I appreciate and for all the places you've been, but for being here on this podcast, we appreciate your perspective, your wisdom, and your enthusiasm, as always. Thanks very much.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing. I think it's important stuff.
Well, I, even as someone who is not a dad yet, I left that conversation being encouraged and being excited about fatherhood, even if that's not something that's impending for me as of yet. And I really think this tied in a lot with what we've talked about in some previous episodes of the podcast, just about the nature of failure and the metrics that we use to measure success. Todd, I think, has a really good perspective on letting go of so many of the things that we will tend to lose sleep over and play the comparison game on, as far as, are we doing enough? Are we doing as much as the person that we see ourselves as being like or want to be like? And just seeing someone who has been around the block and has, obviously raised quite a few kids and done it for quite a few years while doing a lot at the same time, hearing him say, just, you're going to mess it up and that's okay. And just, God is going to redeem that anyway. I find that really refreshing and encouraging.
Yeah, he said some universal things. You don't have to be a parent to catch that last part of the conversation. You're going to make mistakes. You can't do it all. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to let go and trust God. And that is a truth that most of us know, and it's a truth that's hard to live out. And so we need people like Todd encouraging us and reminding us of those realities. So it was indeed encouragement for me. I resonated with a lot of things that he said. I hope it encouraged you as well. And as we are wrapping this up, it is worth noting that that kind of encouragement, that kind of connection, the people that come along, and when you're weak, they're strong. And when you're strong, they're weak as you get to help. That's what being a community is all about. And one of the things that we do at Unbound is that we have an opportunity to work in those kinds of communities. We get to strengthen those kind of communities, and we get to experience those kinds of communities. And so if you're looking for some encouragement, if you're looking for people that kind of naturally help lift each other up, go to beunbound.us and take a look at our programs, particularly our post-high school program, Ascend, which really is a unique community where you have people that are able to see each other in all areas of their life and say, hey, let me encourage you. Let me remind you that things don't always go perfectly. And when they don't, let me point you to some higher truth. And that's one of the exciting things about what we get to do. And like Todd, it takes some sacrifices. It takes some work. It takes some interesting twists and turns. But it always remains worth it because of the people we get to work with. So check out beunbound.us if you want to learn more about that. Thank you for joining us and for this conversation. And until next time, be unbound.